This is FCB Radio, where real talk lives. Visit us online at fcbradio.com.
If you don't like the way I talk, then why am I on your mind? If you don't like the way I rock, then why are we wasting time? We fight and we argue, you'll soon love me blind. If we don't mess this whole thing up, guaranteed I can blow your mind. And tonight I'm alive in a dollar sign, guaranteed I can blow your mind.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Just Listen to Yourself podcast with Kira Davis. I am your host, of course, Kira Davis, and this is the show, the podcast, where we take hot topics and their talking points and we draw them out to their logical conclusion, because I believe we don't think about the things we say enough. Sometimes I'm listening to pundits on TV, or I'm listening to commentators, or even just people in the streets just having conversations about politics and political issues. And sometimes I find myself going, listen to what you're saying. Just listen to yourself. So that's what drove me to start this podcast. And I wanted it to be a podcast which you could share with everybody. So if you're conservative like I am, that you could share it with your liberal friends and not feel like you were sharing some kind of propaganda or you're trying to convince them of something. And if you're liberal, you could feel comfortable sharing this with all of your other friends, all of your conservative friends, or at the very least that you wouldn't feel unwelcome here. So the idea is that our politics don't have to create division. I believe our separate politics can actually create unity if we're willing to listen to each other and hear each other out. Here's something interesting that happened yesterday on Twitter. So I was in a little conversation about conservative entertainment, and I don't know how much I've talked about it on this show, but I do film on the side. I started out in the industry and then moved to politics when I retired to raise my kids, but I still do screenwriting and production on the side, and that's just in your blood, and also it's just where I live, right? Like, everyone's in the industry in California. It's like, seriously, like I can remember getting headshots one time and a police officer pulling over to check that, because we were taking shots in an abandoned location, so he was just checking to see what we were doing, make sure we had permits and everything. And we told him what we were doing. He was like, oh, I'm an actor too. Everybody here is in the business. But here's what happened on Twitter. We're having a conversation about conservative entertainment. And this is my pet peeve, that conservatives have turned up their nose at the entertainment culture because it doesn't reflect them. And it really doesn't. And a lot of times it's very, very insulting, right? Like the last group that it's okay to insult in film and television are white Christians. And so, because everyone else is off limits, it's just a free for all. And even just entertainment wise, it gets boring. You know, there's no shock value anymore. I love a good mystery and I love being able to solve it, but I already know the Hollywood markers in any mystery movie. So I know it's never going to be the Muslim guy. It's never going to be the black guy. It's never going to, you know, I already know these things. If there is a Christian and who is a Republican and who's probably white, then that's going to be the bad guy. So forget politics. It just takes the fun out of it. You know what I mean? That's my problem. So some liberal blue check, I don't even know who it was, but someone in the entertainment industry was insulting conservatives and the dumb conservative art that some conservatives try to make. And they were like, you know what? Conservatives will suck at entertainment. And I was like, yeah, I don't argue with that. I can't argue with that. That's my pet peeve. The only time conservative organizations will ever put money into anything entertaining is if it has a message. And anything that's message forward, that starts with a message, is garbage. Whether you're liberal, conservative, progressive, whatever, it's just, a message movie is garbage. It's not entertaining. So that's all conservatives ever want to make. And so it's never entertaining. So I said, oh, you have no argument for me. And then it morphed into a little conversation between a bunch of people, a few other people hopped on, and we're going back and forth about conservative entertainment versus liberal entertainment, you know, what's the difference? And a little argument broke out. I stepped back because I don't like to argue on Twitter anymore. Back in my early days, I thought that was cool. I thought that was fun. But as I got older and this became my job, I realized, well, nothing's getting done if I'm arguing on Twitter. I have like usually a 2-response limit. So if you want to come at me at Twitter, you get 2 responses. But if you're nasty after that, I'll just quit. It's not worth my time. So, but I thought about muting the conversation, but then I was like, let me see where this goes. They're being a little rude to each other, especially that liberal. I felt like the people who are identifying themselves as conservatives were like trying to have a conversation. And the liberal was basically like, oh, no, you idiots. Like, you're all racist, sexist, homophobic idiots. And it was kind of the same, you know, the stuff you hear all the time. But I was like, but these people are still engaging him. So I guess it was him. I don't know if it was him or her. Anyways. So I instead of muting the conversation, I actually just let it ride. I didn't respond. I let it ride. And it actually turned into a really interesting conversation about the nature of art. And then it morphed into the nature of Christian art and how it used, you know, how what we see now is like Kirk Cameron movies, but it used to be C.S. Lewis and Tolkien and then it was this whole discussion of history and the nature of humanity. And at the end of the conversation, two of the people who had been arguing were like, hey, you know what? You're not so bad. Another guy said, you're not so bad either. Well, they had this conversation. Instead of cutting out of the conversation because it got uncomfortable, they kept going. And I'm actually going to credit the conservative people in that conversation, to be honest, because I read the whole thing. I'm not being biased. I'm going to credit the conservative people. The liberal commentator kept trying to be insulting, but the conservatives were like, not all of them, but actually this one person that they ended up, you know, ending friendly with, instead just kept extending grace. And that's the spirit I think that we need, because people will come back at you for what you believe sometimes. Well, most of the time, not because they know who you are, but they have already made assumptions about you in their mind. That happens a lot on Twitter, and there's no other way to do it, right? It's Twitter. It's digital. You don't know the details of someone's life. This is why having productive conversations on there is so problematic. You can't really know a person through Twitter. And so it's very easy to make assumptions on them. I get people making assumptions on me all the time based on the fact that I have red state in my byline. Don't nobody know that red state's got the most black writers in the conservative media. Nobody knows like what I do personally in my personal life, who I help, who I love, who loves me. You know, you just see that, oh, you write for red state. You must be all these things. So I get it. It's so easy to judge people. And I know that this one person was judging everybody else in the conversation and wanting them to be the racist, sexist, homophobic bigots that they believed. But this one person didn't bite and didn't run. The one person actually engaged in the conversation. And what happened was they ended up having a productive conversation. And I can guarantee you, I'd be willing to bet that nobody's vote changed in that conversation, right? Nobody's core beliefs changed. But what did change is that they realized, oh, when I actually drew out this discussion and had a thoughtful exchange, it turns out this person wasn't the monster that I had originally assumed. So I like the idea of us extending grace to each other in conversations, even when they get icky. A lot of people don't want to be the one. I say this a lot too, right? Like, you've got to go to the table giving up your right to be offended. And a lot of people don't want to be the one to start that. Everybody, you know, everybody thinks that's somebody else's job. So I found it interesting that somebody decided to take it upon themselves to be the one to extend grace. And then what happened was it ended up in a really interesting and productive conversation that didn't have to end in spewing hatred. Now, did this liberal go out there and make a million conservative friends afterwards? I'm sure. I'm sure they did not. I'm sure that they were like surprised by this one. I have one of my best friends is a liberal, and I'm always introducing him to my circle. And because I'm in entertainment, a lot of my friends are artists. And also because I'm in politics, a lot of my friends are very conservative, or they're at least Republican. And then living in California, that's a small group of people. Can you hear my dog out there? Sorry, she's outside. That's Lola, by the way. So if you hear her, just ignore her. She's not a part of the conversation. But every time I introduce him to a new friend that he loves, because we're all, you know, they're all artists and doing the coolest things in the coolest industry. And he'll be like, but I can't believe so-and-so is a Republican. But I can't believe so-and-so voted for Trump. I can't believe so. And I'm like, at what point are you going to be like, maybe I'm the one that's wrong. I don't know. He's not ready. He's not ready. I start off the podcast today this way because I want to talk about something controversial today. And I don't like getting into politics on this show because, as I say, I want this to be shared with everyone. I want people to feel comfortable sharing this, but we do discuss uncomfortable ideas and I do have opinions. I respect everyone's opinions, but I cannot pretend that I don't have my own passions and my own point of view. And this podcast is an episode in persuasion. So I want to persuade people to at least consider my point of view, even if they don't want to buy it, to at least consider that it's not the monstrous point of view that you thought it was, and vice versa. You know, I want to consider yours. That's why I always encourage you guys to write to me and give me your thoughts. KiraDavis422@gmail.com. KiraDavis422@gmail.com. And you can, I read all your letters. I don't always get to all of them, but I read every one. And it's, if it's compelling enough, then I'll include it in a listener response. And I've actually got a listener response coming in a couple days after this, because we had a really great letter from a young lady named Catherine, who on the last episode, who wanted some advice. She had an awkward race conversation and she's been punishing herself ever since. I heard back from Catherine, by the way, and she thanked me for the advice. She said it helped. And she also wanted to tell you guys, everybody that was listening, that in the end, her friends really were supportive and really did love her through that. And so she just wanted to, she couldn't write the whole story in all the detail because, you know, who has time for that? So I'll pass that along to you. Catherine's doing fine and her friends are doing fine and they were able to work it out. So just so you know that. And Catherine, thank you for writing that letter. So I have another response down the road here shortly. But today I want to talk about something controversial, and that is kneeling for the national anthem. Should we kneel for the national anthem? And this is one of those issues that can get heated and has a lot of emotion in it. We don't run away from that stuff on this show. Different people have their opinions, and so I'm going to ask you if your opinion differs from mine here and you'd like to convince me, you'd like to persuade me, please write me at KiraDavis422@gmail.com. I really do want to know how I'm wrong here. But I don't think I'm wrong. I think I'm right. I think I'm right because this is my podcast. And I want to explore this issue of kneeling for the national anthem because it's in the news. I actually had a whole other podcast planned. I had research. I actually delayed this podcast recording it this week because I had to go back and do more research. I was going to do a podcast on the importance of fathers and why fathers matter. And that kind of came up in my mind this week because of what's going on with Kanye. And he just seems a little rudderless. And so I have this. So I'm looking at my board right now. I've got this, all the argument points and the stats and the research up on my board. And today I saw a video of the WNBA players leaving the court as the national anthem played. And that went viral. And then there was one baseball player yesterday that didn't kneel. And he was like the only one who didn't kneel. And he said he didn't want to kneel for anything but God. And so the kneeling thing's been going around. It's coming up again now that we're getting back into sports. And I just felt moved to do this. So this is our subject today. Should we kneel in protest? Is it okay to kneel in protest for the anthems? That's what. Should you kneel in protest? Now, you shouldn't kneel to anything if you don't agree with it. Like if you don't agree with the protest, then obviously don't kneel for the anthem. But I guess the question I'm exploring today is it appropriate to kneel in protest for the anthem? And my personal opinion as a Black woman in America, as a woman who came from Canada to be here, as a mother and someone who's worked her way up from poverty to the middle class, my and as someone who has seen injustice with my own eyes, watched my own husband be pulled over by police officers and treated poorly for nothing more than being black. And I've seen the race. I've faced horrific racism. Go back and listen to my episode on tolerance for that. As someone who's been through some of the worst kind of racism a person can experience in modern day Western culture, my opinion is that no, it is not appropriate to kneel for the flag, for the anthem. It is not appropriate to kneel in protest for the anthem. So don't leave. Don't leave. Hang on. Because I know there's a lot of folks. I know I got a lot of listeners out there who just breathed a sigh of relief that that came out of my mouth. They weren't sure where I was going with it. And I know I have a lot of listeners who are like, traitor, you know, you don't understand. But listen, this is simply an exercise in persuasion. You don't have to agree with me, but let me persuade you of my points. And let me see if I make any sense to you. So let's start at the start here. Why do people kneel for the anthem? I actually went and Googled that question because it's, to my mind, I think there are a lot of people kneeling who actually don't know what they're kneeling for. They either feel pressured to do it or they feel like they're kneeling for Black lives, but they don't necessarily know what that means or even know what the gesture of the kneeling means, but they're doing it because they feel like it makes some sort of statement, but they're not very clear on it. So I went to look to see if anyone actually had any real things. Of course, Colin Kaepernick's name is in the news because he was the first guy to do it. And then, and now I guess we're going to have to see Colin Kaepernick play football for... I don't know anything about football. By the way, I know some of y'all are going to want to know what I feel about this Black national anthem playing before football games. And I don't have an opinion because I don't care. I don't watch football. I know the Black national anthem because when I went to school in Washington, D.C., we had to sing it every day. And most Black people know it. I didn't realize white people didn't know it. So I didn't realize it was a thing to make white people mad. But I know folks are like... I know a lot of my white friends are like, this is offensive, a Black national anthem. I didn't know. What's the white national anthem? And you have to understand that that's actually not, this is not new. Like the idea of a Black national anthem is not something that came up with Black Lives Matter. Lift Every Voice is something that we've been singing forever. Like since the, I think the 50s, 60s. So most Black people know the song and they know it as the Black national anthem. That's what I learned it as in 1987, the Black national anthem. So it's nothing new and it's nothing made up to poke you in the eye. This is actually this is something we do. We've always done it. I've never once considered making it a national kind of thing. I actually kind of always liked that it was our thing. Maybe that's weird. That's me. So as far as the idea of, should we have a Black national anthem? I mean, we've always had it. It's always been there. Black folks sing it at church. We sing it at games sometimes. Sometimes I just walk around the house singing. It's a very catchy song. And I can remember, you know, it was one of the first choir songs we had to learn when I was in middle school. It's always been there for us. So it's not something that was just recently made up and just recently labeled the Black national anthem so that people will get mad. That being said, I don't care if they play it before the football games or not, because I don't watch football and it's not really going to affect me as a fan. So I'll be interested to hear what some of the football fans think about that. But I can only care about so much because I don't really care about football. I don't really care about that. Kaepernick is the one that's going to that has really kicked this off, right? And so I went to see what he had to say about kneeling and what it meant to him. Because I think if you're going to look for the most clarity about what it meant, he's probably the guy. So he says, I'm not going to stand up to show pride in a flag or a country that oppresses Black people and people of color. To me, this is bigger than football, and it'd be selfish on my part to look the other way. There are bodies in the street and people getting paid leave and getting away with murder. So I guess he's talking about police violence. He's talking about police violence. Okay. So why should people why should people stand to show pride in a flag that oppresses certain people? I would ask the opposite question of that. Would you stand for a flag that protects people? Would you stand for a flag that uplifts people and empowers people? Would you stand for that flag? Because the American flag actually does those things as well, right? As Kaepernick is wearing his $4,000 leather jacket, and he's just got his, you know, he just went to get his edges lined up for, you know, it's for at a some elite barber for $800, and he's driving off in his luxury SUV. There are people, men and women, in uniform right now, black, white, people of color, all colors, overseas in disaster zones, helping the poor, helping the oppressed, protecting the poor, protecting the oppressed. There are people here in our own country of all races who have given up everything they have to serve the poor, to serve the addicted, to serve the widows and the orphans. There are people all over this country right now who have sacrificed an organ to save someone, who have sacrificed their own lives to save someone. Do those people deserve to be recognized as valuable enough to stand for, as valuable enough to stand under the flag? We can say that, well, I'm not going to stand for this flag that oppresses people, but that would suggest that that's all the flag does. And that's certainly not all the flag does. That the flag, just as Kaepernick or just as anybody who wants to kneel wants to say, hey, the flag is a representation of this oppression and I can't stand for it. It's grossly unfair to pretend that the flag also doesn't symbolize great sacrifice and great generosity and a great and brave people, even in the face of great challenges from within and from without. It's the same, you know, you just got to flip that script. It's the same way. I mean, just because the flag stands for wonderful things, just because this country is full of wonderful things and wonderful people, and we have wonderful and triumphant parts of our history, doesn't mean that we should pretend those other things don't exist. But here is the thing. All of those things, the oppression, the police brutality, racism that we've dealt with off and on all these years, the generosity and bravery of Americans, how we serve each other, the neighborliness, the freedoms, all the wonderful things that happen in this country, all of the good things and all of the bad things, all of those things happen under this flag. Everything that happens in this country, good or bad, happens under the flag. That's why we fly the flag as Americans. It's not that we fly the flag to say, there's nothing wrong with America, y'all. America is perfect. We're a utopia and no one ever suffers here and there's no injustice here and we've never done anything wrong and we never will again. And that's what you're saying when you sing that anthem, and that's what you're saying when you stand and respect that flag by standing for the anthem. That's not it. The flag is a blanket and it covers us all. So when we stand for it, it's a social compact. It's a social contract. What we're saying is pardon my French here. I'm about to cuss. You ready? All the bullshit that happens in this country happens under this flag. And it ain't none of y'all business. Everybody outside of this flag, everybody outside of these borders, it's none of your business. That's why you can, it's just like when people come into your home and they want to tell you, don't talk to your sister that way, don't talk to your brother that way. It's none of your business. Maybe I shouldn't talk to my brother or sister that way. But guess what? What happens here happens under this roof. And we deal with it as a family under this roof. The flag is our roof. It's our blanket. It covers us all. So the idea that it doesn't stand for us all just because we do experience oppression or injustice in this country, I can't get behind that. I don't think that's a reason to kneel for the flag. The same way we don't wear hats in church. We have a social contract. For whatever reason, we've progressed enough. We've progressed in this idea of respect to where a gentleman takes off his hat when he comes into church. That is the appropriate thing to do. Why? You know, I don't know. There's all kinds of, I'm sure sociologists can come along and tell us how that developed. I'm not smart enough to know that. But we do know that taking off your hat in church is a sign of respect. When you take off your hat in church, you're not saying that everyone in church is perfect. When you take off your hat in church, you're not saying that that you're respecting every single person. You're respecting the abusers that are in your church, and I'm sure there are some. You're not saying you respect the the thieves in your church, the sinners in your church. You're not saying you respect the pastor who cheated on his wife. That's not what you're saying. What you're saying is this is a house of worship. And when we come into this house of worship, there's a certain level of respect that we show because we all worship under the banner of God, under the same God. That same God covers us, sinner, saint, thief, or servant. All of those things, it covers all of those things. The church covers all of those things. So I take my hat off in deference to that. That's the kind of a social compact, a social contract we've made. It doesn't mean if you walk in and you leave your hat on in church, what does it do to change the sin or even to draw attention to it? It doesn't. It only looks disrespectful. We're all under the same banner in church. So we have to find other ways, right, to tell people we are displeased. We're displeased with what we don't do is we don't disrespect the sanctity of the sanctuary. And that is how I look at the flag. I don't think we disrespect the sanctity of that sanctuary, of the sanctuary of this country. And so to kneel, if I use Kaepernick's own definition, to kneel would suggest two things. One is a real big problem for me. A, we're somehow going to get to this place in this country where no one's oppressed and there's no injustice and everything is just fine all the time. That's a dangerous goal because it can never come true. And that what happens when it doesn't come true drives people crazy. That's what we're seeing happening in the streets now. A bunch of people who don't understand why it can't be a utopia all the time because they don't understand human nature and they don't know how things work. And then there's the spiritual aspect to it, right? I talk about this a lot on the show. It's one of the things I like about having my own podcast and I can control it. It's not for anyone else but me because a lot of the solutions to these issues, well, just to be honest, to my mind, every solution to these problems is rooted in the church, is rooted in God, is rooted in Christ. It's really hard for me to talk about real concrete solutions without bringing the Lord into it. Because he offers us the kind of grace and forgiveness that is necessary to move forward. But there's a lot of people out there who don't know that. So they really do genuinely think that human beings are capable of creating a utopia. And I think that's Kaepernick's problem. He thinks we're capable of creating a utopia. I get it because I can hear some of you out there already going, but Kira, it's not a utopia. Can we at least get to the place where people aren't murdering black folks in the streets? Well, sure. There's plenty of places in this country you can go where the police don't murder black people. And in fact, while that is a worthy conversation to have, it actually doesn't encompass everything that's happening in this country right now. It actually isn't the most prevalent problem numbers-wise in this country. It's a problem emotional-wise, right? Like, we do have issues. You guys have heard me on this show all the time talk about what it means to be black and living in a black community and having interactions with law enforcement. And I do believe that we have issues with how we are perceived, and some of those issues are our fault, black people. Some of those issues are our fault, how we allow other people to see us, how we act allows people to perceive us a certain way, the majority of us. We have our part to play, but so of course I'm not saying that the idea of injustice is silly or unreal. It's there, but there's a lot of other things going on in this country too, and we still don't kneel for the anthem in protest of those issues. That's because we have this inherent recognition that what happens in this country, it all happens under the flag. The reason that we can even have these discussions, the reason that I can even have this podcast and talk to you about this, the reason that a guy like Colin Kaepernick can make millions of dollars and still refuse to follow the, you know, instructions of his employers, which is to stand before the anthem, is because he does all this under the flag of the United States of America. That flag represents the freedom for him to do that. Now, this gets me to another point. because there's a difference between is it appropriate to kneel for the anthem and can you kneel for the anthem? And yes, you can. You can kneel for the anthem. You can burn the flag. You can spit on the flag. That's your constitutional right. So I'm not saying that we need to make some kind of law, and I'm not even saying that it's up to the NFL or the NBA or whatever to start making rules and forcing people. That's up to them. They're private businesses, by the way. Here's my opinion about that. Here's my opinion about the private business issue. Because it's one thing if you're going to be at school and the anthem plays and you take a knee at school, right? It's one thing if you're at church or some public event and the anthem plays and you take the knee. It's quite another thing when you work for someone and they pay you a lot of money to do your job and they ask you to stand for the anthem and then you won't. Private employers can set the rules and the tone for their workplace. It's called creating a culture. So if they say, look, you wear, like, what did the NBA do a while back? They made all the players, they were like, you know what? We're not coming to the games looking any old kind of way anymore. You got to wear a suit. You got to look good. You got to look like a professional because you are. And some people didn't like that. Some people felt, this is why I love black people. Because there were a lot of, even some of the NBA players, a lot of black folks were like, that's racist. What you don't like is hip-hop culture. That's what you don't like. You don't like these guys coming in baggy pants and their Beats headphones on. But what happened was, and I love this about us, what the black players did really, was adjust. And they were like, all right, well, if we got to wear suits, then we are wearing suits. And they went out and found the most outrageous, the most interesting, the most creative garments and created a whole new kind of fashion runway. I loved it. That's kind of America, right? Like, it's a clash of cultures, and then each culture kind of figures out how to adjust to each other in a way that comes out unique. Uniquely American. And so I'm not saying that employers don't have the right to set the tone and to say, this is what we do here. If you want to work here, then this is what we do here. And if you don't like it, you can go work somewhere else. And that's your right as an American. If Colin Kaepernick doesn't like that and I understand that the NFL has just completely acquiesced to this now, but if Colin Kaepernick doesn't like that the NFL requires players to stand for the anthem, that they see it as a sign of respect for the game that's played in the country that lets them play it, then he has the right and the freedom to go find another job that will allow him to do that. And he actually did that. I guess he's going to be back now, but he actually did that, right? He went out and found a job as an activist where he could kneel all he wanted and get paid to do it. I do have a problem when you decide for your employer, because we do live in a free country. It's not like you're forced to work for the people you work for. That if you were, like, I can understand if you live in like communist China and China says, you know what, now this is your job. You now work in a factory, and then you work in the factory for 30 hours, you know, 30 hours a day. There aren't 30 hours in a day, but in my world, there are. In the JLTY world, it seems like every day is 30 hours these days. But, you know, you can work 20 hours a day in a factory. And if you don't like it, and then the Chinese government says to you every day at 2 o'clock, you have to kneel for 15 minutes in honor of the Communist Party. It's not like you, in that situation, you don't have a choice. You can't be like, I get it. It's all good. You guys love the Communist Party, but this is not my thing. I'm gonna go find another job. You can't do that in Communist China. We're not communist China. If you don't like that here, you have every right to say, you know what? I don't agree with this. I don't like this. This is my problem with athletes kneeling. I don't actually have a problem with anybody in the public square making a decision for themselves as to whether or not they want to kneel. I actually don't even have a problem with people who want to wear their hats in church. If I don't like it, I'm judging you. I'm looking at you like, somebody's mama didn't teach them right. And I live in California too, and everyone's super casual down here. This is one thing I can never get used to about casual church. We looked like the crazy people in church for the first 3 years because we still were wearing suits and ties to church. And everyone's so casual here. Flip-flops and tube tops. It's crazy. That's the one thing I still have not gotten used to. But, you know, I don't have a problem if you wear your hat in church even. I guess where my issue, and I feel like I'm speaking for a lot of people here, where my issue comes is when you're looking at people who are making more money than you or I could ever dream of. In the course of 1 year, more than many of us will make in our whole lives, they have access to the most luxurious aspects of society. They have access to celebrity lifestyles that we could only imagine. They drive the best cars. They eat the best food. They live in a country where they were able to play sports for a living. Where they could come from nothing and then work their way up to be the top 1% of this country. To see them kneeling and to say this country is oppressive when the very people that they think they're protesting against couldn't dream of their lifestyle. It seems ungrateful. Now, a lot of people will say, well, Kira, they're just bringing attention to the issues. That's what they're using their platform, right? Yes, of course, Colin Kaepernick knows that he is well off and he's better off than the people around him. He's kneeling because it's his job to bring attention to the other people who don't have the luxury of living his life. So they're not, it's not that they're being ungrateful, it's that they're using their platform. But you don't get to use your employer's platform. That's my thing. Like, if you want to do it in public, if you're a fan and you want to kneel, you pay for that damn ticket. You know, if you want to kneel, then that's fine. But what I don't think is you don't do that on your employer's time. Like, my husband cannot go to work and be like, you know what, boss, from 3 to 5 today, I'm protesting for Black Lives Matter. So that means I will not be at my desk working. I will not be. I know that at 4 is the company all hands meeting, but I'm not going because I'm using my platform to protest today. He can't do that. He's on his employer's time. He gets paid to be there from 3 to 5 and he gets paid to be there at that 4 o'clock all hands meeting, even if he doesn't like it, even if he doesn't think it's fair. And here's the wonderful thing. And by the way, I think we should remember in this very fine example that I'm making that my husband is a Black man. So by the way, as a Black man, as a free American Black man, he doesn't have to accept his employer's ultimatum on that. He doesn't. If his employer says you be there at 4 p.m. or you're fired, he can be like, I quit. I will go find another job that will let me protest for Black lives at 4 p.m. every Wednesday. I'll go find that job because this is America. Why is it up to the employer to accommodate his protest? In that case, in this example I'm giving, this is just a small company. This is a company that doesn't, the customers aren't in the building. The customers don't have to see any of this. In professional sports, your customers are right in front of you. They're either watching on the TV or they're in the stadium with you. So you're actually flouting the rules in front of the customers and you don't even know what your customers think of it. And the customer is king. In this country, customer is king because the customer is who pays your salary. So the idea, and then I sure hope we don't get into, I can't, these are separate conversations, but just because this is on my mind now, I'm going to mention this. Few things make me more irate than to hear a young, healthy, strong, and very rich, very successful Black football player compare himself to a slave because the team owner is white. I just can't think of anything more offensive. And I imagine, I did a movie on Harriet Tubman. You can go find that on YouTube. It's called Minty, which was her real name. Her real name was Araminta Ross, but people called her Minty. You can find that. It played at the Toronto Black Film Festival. I'm very proud of it. It's a fiction version. It's not a biography. So you're not going to, it's not like a documentary. It's like an action film. So just be prepared. Sometimes people get shocked when they see what it was. Anyways, I sometimes, because she's on my mind so much since we made that movie, I sometimes think of Harriet Tubman listening to people talk nowadays, and I think of what she would say. Look at this young man getting into his Mercedes, you know, going to cash his $1 million check at the bank before he picks up his three girlfriends and buys them rings and goes to the best dinner. He's like, I'm a slave to this slave owner. I can't stand that. That's so silly. But this is a different thing that we're talking about from the flag. I just, a sidebar there. I don't think it's up to you to decide what you do on your employer's time. And that's the problem I have with kneeling in professional sports. I wouldn't kneel, and I don't think it's appropriate. I think the right thing to do is to stand for the flag, as I've just explained, because this flag encompasses all of us, whether it's good or bad. But again, I have no judgment for you if that's what you want to do, if you feel strongly for that. I'm making this statement, this statement that Cap said too, like, I'm not going to stand for a flag I feel oppresses people. So, okay, fair enough if that's what you want to do. I just don't think you should do that on your employer's time. It's not your job. It's not what you're getting paid for. And because professional sports is really it's really a public job. It's paid for by the public, right? I mean, Your white team owner cuts your check, but he doesn't cut the check unless people buy tickets to the game or buy your merchandise or buy food at the stadium. You hear what I'm saying? This is customer driven. And because you don't know every customer, it is disrespectful to kneel for that flag when a lot of your customers might be like, but why don't you just protest this on your own time? Well, I'm using my platform. But no, you're not using your platform. You're actually using your employer's platform. To use your platform, there are a lot of celebrities who use their platform, and I applaud it. In fact, I think if you have this type of platform, the ability to amplify your voice, I feel like you do have a responsibility to step up for something. My friend Patty Heaton from Everybody Loves Raymond, she is a representative for World Vision. So she feeds orphans and travels across the world and brings attention to the issue of parentless children who have been displaced because of war or disease or famine. She puts her money and time and platform where her mouth is, but she doesn't do it on her TV show. What is her TV show now? She's got a new one on CBS, I think, Carol's Second Act. You're never going to see Patty Heaton break character in the middle of the show, Carol's Second Act, turn to camera and say, I'm protesting right now for all of the kids all over the world who have no parents, and I'm asking you to. No, she doesn't do that because she's at her job, and her job is to be an actor and read the lines on this script. That's her job, and that's what people pay to see. That's what people pay for the cable bill so that they can watch the TV. That's what people are paying her for. But what she does do is she uses her very sizable social media platform to get that message across and tells people every day and shares great and wonderful stories every day and shares how people can participate in this cause every day. She does it every day. She travels. She does videos. She does all of the things that, you know, she does everything that she can do to bring attention to this. But what she doesn't do is do that on her employer's time. And that's why I think I don't understand this idea of, like, because it's athletes, we should be OK with them doing this on their employer's time, which is essentially our time. And not everyone might feel good about this. And sports is a team effort. I think there's a lot of entitlement here. This is, when it comes to the sports, I watched a video today of the WNBA players. This is why it's so hard for people to wrap their minds around it, because there's a group of people who are like, we're just, what I just read, what Cap said, this is a protest about the oppression that happens under the flag. It's not about the flag. It's not about the anthem. We're not disrespecting the anthem. We're saying that we're trying to bring attention to this issue. I watched a video today of the WNBA team walking off the court during the anthem. The WNBA. Where else in the world can you play women's basketball at a professional level and get paid the money you get paid, which of course is not at all what the guys get paid, but there, that's the market right there, right? I mean, let's, we don't need to get into that discussion, but you still make a good amount of money to do what you love, to play basketball, a sport that many women, I would venture to say most women around this world, aren't allowed to play. I know, because we assume that Western thinking and Western life is the norm, and it's not the norm. We think everybody else in the world is like us. And it's just like, oh, a few bad leaders. And if we just get rid of those bad leaders, or if we just bring them all over here, then they'll be just like us and they'll think like just like us. And that's not how it works. Western culture is actually very unique. There's quite a number of theology books you can go and check out. I think Tom Holland's got a new one. I can't remember what the name of it is, but look up Tom Holland. He's amazing. But the idea that it was Christianity that really shifted the direction of Western culture. The idea of women belonging, of disabled people belonging, of people of different backgrounds belonging, that was a antithetical, heretical idea until the idea of Christ. There's no Greek or Jew. There's no man or woman. You know, we take it for granted now. We think that everybody thinks like that, but that's not how the world was before Jesus, and it's not actually how most of the world is now. So here's this group of women who are doing something in a country, who are doing something that they could not do anywhere else, almost anywhere else. And certainly not for the money, and certainly not with the freedom. And to do something so extraordinarily unique for a woman, and then to walk off during the anthem that plays to honor the country that you can do this in, to me, that feels a little disrespectful. It does. I'm not thinking about the Black lives. I'd like everyone want to remind everybody that I'm Black, that my family's Black. And it's hard to really tell people the depth or the trauma of the racism I have experienced in my life. No one would believe it. No one believes it. No one can believe that, like, from the time I was 6 years old until the time I was 18, somebody called me the N-word every single day. Every single day. And sometimes it was people who lived with me. So don't think that I'm not sensitive to racism and injustice, but I am also sensitive to what it means to be an American, because I wanted to be one so desperately. And when I finally had the privilege to meet my father, who had left, we still don't have a great relationship to this day, but I'm always grateful to him for making me an American. When it was time for me to get my papers, he did everything he could to help me to get my papers here and to become an American. And I'm always grateful for that. I'm always grateful that he led me here. I understand the impulse to want everyone to understand how you feel about racism and injustice. I can't tell you how many times in my own life that I have wished that I could explain to people the depth of this pain. And wished that I could make people understand the life that I've lived. You know, recently, my show Red and Black, which I do with three other Black conservatives from Red State, we do a YouTube show every Saturday. And this week we talked about Japan. They opened their amusement parks, but because of the COVID thing, they were just asking people to scream inside your heart. Don't scream out loud. I feel like that's how I've spent so much of my life in terms of how I feel about racism, screaming inside my heart, because even a lot of black people can't really get the depth to which I've experienced this terrible, the type of racism today that we will put people in jail for. That's what I'll say. I'm not trying to make myself sound more important than anyone else. I'm only saying this because I want everyone to know how passionately I feel about racism. And I still believe that you should stand for the anthem. And I certainly believe that you don't protest on your employer's time. And just because you're a famous athlete doesn't mean that you don't have obligations to your employer the way we all do. And also it's thumbing your nose at the very concept that you claim you're trying to advocate for, which is freedom. It's thumbing your nose at that concept because you do have the freedom to walk away from that job at that very moment. If they are not honoring what you feel is your right to kneel during the national anthem, you have the freedom to walk away from that. So it's thumbing your nose even at that. We are one nation. And what happens here, good or bad, happens under that flag. We stand for the flag because we are recognizing the borders of this country. And we're recognizing that the borders of this country encompass a complicated and triumphant history that is still unfolding before our very eyes. That hasn't ended. We haven't stopped fighting for ourselves. We haven't stopped fighting with ourselves. We never will, because that's what America is. It is an endeavor to be better every day. We fought, we killed 600,000 of our own people. We fought a civil war over the issue of slavery. To pretend that Americans see this as nothing. To pretend that Americans don't recognize oppression or don't care about oppression, I think that's just as ignorant as pretending that there is no oppression. You don't get to be a millionaire athlete without that anthem. You don't get to play in the WNBA without that anthem. It's a war anthem. It's an anthem that talks about the bloody and complicated nature of the birth of this nation. And it was a birth that didn't get to be completed. And we've been talking a lot lately, right? We passed Juneteenth last month, and that seemed to come and go. A lot of this stuff come and go. Anybody even talking about George Floyd anymore? This is the other thing that's getting on my nerves, because I don't, the Antifa, can you hear me rubbing my eyes right now? That's what I'm doing. Because the Antifa white privileged set that's kind of hijacked Black Lives Matter is getting on my nerves. They've destroyed the conversation and they've made us all forget about George Floyd. And that makes me mad. And it makes me mad that people are falling for it. That makes me mad too. But I understand that this is a war anthem and we've had a complicated history. One of the things, one of the most interesting, to my mind, fascinating figures in American history is John Adams. And I read this really great book. It's by David McCullough. It's about John Adams and it's about Abigail Adams. And he and his wife had a very interesting and sweet relationship. And one of the most contentious points of their relationship was slavery, because they were both abolitionists. And when they were writing the Constitution, Abigail Adams told him, do not give up on making slavery illegal. You have to get this in here. This is your only chance. And he said, because he was in Congress and he was there and he saw how they were really having trouble uniting all of these states to take part in this war effort. He was like, I don't know that it's going to happen. I don't know that we can get the Southern states. And she said, you have failed if you don't. And of course, we know what happened. And it created a huge amount of pressure in their marriage. They fought about it. It almost ended their marriage. She was so grossly disappointed. But the point he made to her was like, I promise I will never give up. We will go back for this. We will continue to fight for this. And they did. He did. He always fought for abolition after that. And then we fought a war after that. I'm not justifying the roots or the foundations. What I'm saying is it's complicated. Human history is complicated. But what the glory of America is that we've never given up being better. Adams was right. He didn't give up. We didn't give up. And we're still fighting. And that's what we're looking at today, right? But I agree that you should be able to do whatever you want. If you want to burn that flag, you're allowed to do it. I won't respect it, but you're allowed to do it. Those are your constitutional rights. But you don't even get to burn the flag without that anthem. That anthem is the reminder that we all live in a country where we all can think whatever we want and do whatever we want. That's what you're standing for. And then I'm also with this baseball player who said, I don't kneel before anything but God. I was trying to think about the last thing I kneeled for outside of church, like kneel for prayer. And I was trying to think, what's the last thing I kneeled for? I've seen people kneel for like to get knighted, you know, in Europe when the queen knights you. That would be cool. I wonder what I can do to get knighted. Anyway, sidebar. I'll think about that later. And I couldn't think of it. I couldn't think of the last. I'm honestly trying to figure out. I couldn't think of the last time I kneeled for some reason that was outside of the church. And I... when I think about it, I don't think I would. I think I feel the same way, that kneeling denotes a deference or a reverence for something. And I have found throughout human history and throughout my study of human history and American history, and particularly biblical history, that when people kneel before something, it's because that they are worshiping something. And I'm thinking that race is starting to become a bit of an idol. And it feels like when we kneel, that that's what we're kneeling to, some kind of idol that isn't God. It doesn't feel like a protest. Like if you go back and you look at, what was it? Was it the 68 Olympics when those three runners, the American runners, won and they threw their fists into the air and they were stripped of their medals because it was too political? But like they were still standing for the anthem, you know what I mean? But they were giving the sign that was like, I am powerful. Look at me. I belong in this country and I am powerful in this country, even as a black man. Even though this country has done their best to try to marginalize my race, and even though there is injustice going on, those men, they still stood. They didn't kneel. They stood. In fact, they didn't lower themselves. They elevated. They rose that fist. It was the idea that they wanted to go higher, and somehow these folks want us to go lower, and that's a problem. I don't like it. I'm not comfortable with it. So I don't think that the idea of kneeling in protest, particularly in professional sports, is good. I think it's ungrateful. I think it comes off as ungrateful. And those ladies in the WNBA, they bothered me more than anything because they just left. And then I go to Twitter and everyone's like, it's not about the anthem. It's about protesting. Well, then why didn't y'all stay on the court while the anthem played? They left like the anthem wasn't even worth hearing. And that's hurtful, because you don't get to be on that court unless there is that anthem. Are we protesting racism, or are we protesting our country? When you kneel before the flag, it feels like you're protesting our country. And I would go back to the fact that you have the freedom to leave this country. If this country feel, and I'm not being facetious, I'm really not. I know a lot of people are like, well, if you don't like it, leave. That's not what I mean. I promise you, I'm not being snarky about this. Honest to God, if you feel terrible here and you don't like it here and you feel like you can find peace and justice elsewhere, you should go and find that place. And you can. You have the ability to. But Kira, that's not what I'm saying. I want to make America. I have the right to make America into what I want it to be too. I want to make America better. All right, then honor that damn flag. If you want to make America better, what you're saying is you want to make America better under this flag. That flag represents America. So stay, make America better, but don't disrespect the borders and the spirit of America. Because what you just told me, imaginary listener, is that America isn't done being better. And that's just what I spent an entire podcast telling you. And that's what makes our country great. So I see no reason for you to kneel before that flag to lower yourself. Let's raise ourselves. And let's not do it on our employer's time either. If you want to head out to the street corner right now and kneel and protest, if Colin Kaepernick wants to post a 30-second video on Instagram 4 times a day of him kneeling, he's got millions of followers. He's got a Nike sponsorship. He's got access to TV. He can do all that there. To do that, I'm just wondering what it solves. I'm just wondering if we make more enemies that way than allies. Tell me what you think. KiraDavis422@gmail.com. KiraDavis422@gmail.com. I apologize if this felt too political to you, this episode. I definitely feel very passionately for this country and for the flag. I actually love singing the anthem. It's one of my favorite things. It's like, I look around and people are so, when I go to an event, which obviously none of us have been to an event really lately, but when I go to an event and I look and it's somewhere that we sing the anthem and I look around, I do this every time. My husband thinks I'm just such a ball of cheesiness, but I can't help it. Every time I look around and I look at the crowd and I see how many different types of faces there are. And there are men and women and children and all different races and ethnicities and all singing the same song. I always get a tear in my eye. I always get a lump in my throat when we sing the anthem, because I feel like just for this 2 minutes or whoever, however long it takes, depending on who sings it. I'm looking at you, Chaka Khan. Just for that 2 minutes, we're all Americans, and that's it. We're all there to see the same thing and cheer for the same thing and laugh at the same thing. We're just all Americans in the, everything else gets set aside in that 2 minutes. And afterwards, we can go back to hating each other because of how we vote or how we look, or because you think you should kneel before the anthem and I don't. We can go back to hating each other after that 2 minutes, and we do. But just for that two glorious minutes, everyone's on the same page. I love it. It gives me chills every time. I don't mean to be political. I'm just trying to make my case here for why I think the flag deserves more respect. It isn't just about oppression. And I don't think it's fair to make it just about oppression. And I think it also pulls focus from maybe other places that we should be looking at oppression. Okay, enough. You guys get it. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate it. Go ahead and hit me up, KiraDavis422@gmail.com. Show me some love on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast. Give me a rating. That helps so much. And a review. If you've got the time and you feel like you want to spit out a few words, give me a nice review. It helps with the haters, because every now and then you get some hateful people that want to spam your comment section or your review section, and it brings your ratings down. So it helps with the haters when you guys chime in and let me know, and let me know what you think. God bless America. God bless you all. I hope you are enjoying yourselves. Remember that no matter what, we do live in the greatest country on earth, and you are meant to be here in this time, in this day, with the people that are around you right now. All right. I'll talk to you next time. Bye. If you don't like the way I talk, then why am I on your mind? If you don't like the way I rock, then why are we wasting time? We fight and we argue, you'll soon love me blind. If we don't mess this whole thing up, guaranteed I can blow your mind. And tonight I'm alive in a dollar sign, guaranteed I can blow your mind. And tonight I'm alive in a dollar sign, guaranteed I can blow your mind. The FCB Radio Network. First-class broadcasting worldwide.